Have you ever been surprised when you meet people who have something in common with you? Maybe it's a place or a person that you have in common. Several of the apostles were from the same place. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, is from Bethsaida on the Sea of Galilee. Well, Philip comes to Nathanael and is all excited, and maybe he's even a little out of breath. I picture somebody who might have been rambling something and you're struggling to hear what he's saying. Nathanael, who is also known as Bartholomew, Bar meaning son of, Ptolemy, Bartholomew. He can't believe what Philip's saying to him. Philip is bubbling over with the best news that he's ever been able to share with anyone. He says that he's found the one that Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote about. He's talking about Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael's response has never been forgotten. He said, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" So we have to ask, why was Nathanael so skeptical? Did he know something Philip didn't? Well, Nazareth was not exactly considered a very significant place and was not thought of to be the garden spot of the Galilee region. It's situated inside a bowl on the top of the Nazareth Ridge, north of the Jezreel Valley. Nazareth was a pretty isolated village in the time of Jesus, with a population of less than 200, and it was about the size of a football field. Even with such small numbers, Nazareth was overpopulated. It wasn't rich in natural resources like water and fertile soil. It was a place of, believe it or not, relative poverty. But there's another reason for his answer. Nathanael, or Bartholomew, comes from Cana, as John tells us in John chapter 21, which is a neighboring town in the Galilee region. Well, maybe there's a little hometown rivalry going on here. Think of how Coffee County just recently felt about Lee County after a certain championship football game, or even Alabama after this past Monday. Well, Nazareth is not mentioned at all in the Old Testament. And so there's no prophecy linking the Messiah with Galilee or with Nazareth. Nothing special was ever expected to come from Nazareth, and certainly not the Messiah. So when Nathanael gets up to follow Philip, he goes without expecting anything too special from this one the prophets spoke about. Imagine Nathanael's surprise when he sees Jesus, and Jesus immediately says to him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there's nothing false." Nathanael asks, "How do you know me?" Jesus responds to him, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Now, can you imagine how puzzled Nathanael must be? He's got to be thinking, "How in the world does this man know me?" I think an answer can be found in Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10. "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make a bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, I settle on the far side of the sea. Even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." You see, God desires to be where we are, to meet us wherever we may be. And so he sent his son to be God with us, Emmanuel. I think the real answer to Nathanael's wondering is because Jesus is God. He knows our hearts. When Nathanael walked up to Jesus, Jesus could have said, "I know you. You're the person who thought nothing good can come out of Nazareth." But he didn't. Instead, Jesus focused on something completely different. It was strange to find real faith, to find true Israelites in the days of Jesus. But Nathanael was different. Jesus knew that here was a man in whom there was nothing false. As a true Israelite, Nathanael didn't just read the word of God, but he lived it. He was a man who loved and feared God, a man of integrity. That's why Jesus continues to describe him as one in whom there is nothing false. What a huge compliment. A true Israelite in whom there is nothing false, especially when it comes directly from the mouth of the Son of God. In the days of Jesus, the fig tree symbolized fruitfulness and spiritual fullness. Later on, it became a symbol of Israel itself. When Jesus said, "I saw you under the fig tree," he's pointing to the fact that Nathanael was a man who desired a closer walk with the Lord. When you are under the fig tree, you're in a place of reflection, study, and meditation, a place where people express their hearts of hearts to God. They express their joys, but also their sorrows, their victories, but also their failures, their confidence, but also their doubts. To be under the fig tree meant expressing your relationship with God. Nathanael's overcome and he declares, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." God gave Nathanael insight to see Jesus as he truly is. Well, now Jesus gives him a promise of things to come in his presence. Jesus told Nathanael, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Jesus called to mind the account of Jacob's ladder, in which Jacob, also known as Israel, had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Genesis 28, verse 12. Jacob called that place Beth-El, which means house of God, like Bethlehem, house of bread. Beth-El became one of the greatest sanctuaries in all of Israel, with the thought that when you worship God in his house, he's really present, with his angels going up and coming down to link heaven and earth. I think it's important to tell you that a great deal of John's gospel has to do with the way that Jesus fulfills the promises made concerning God's temple and how he goes beyond them, bringing a new way in which God himself can be present with his people. In the beginning of John's gospel, he reveals the truth that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. John 1:14. The word dwelling is associated with the presence of God tabernacling or pitching, spreading his tent in the midst of his people, giving his covering to those whom he loves, his family. The tabernacle in the wilderness at the time of the Exodus is where God's presence dwelt among his people. In the Holy of Holies, God led his people in the wilderness by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. This carried forward to the temple in Jerusalem, where God's presence was promised. Jesus is telling Nathanael not just to expect one or two remarkable acts, like when I showed you, I knew about you before you even appeared to me, standing by the fig tree, but what you'll see from now on is the reality of which Jacob's ladder and even the temple itself were pointing, just like a flashing neon sign. Jesus was promising that if Nathanael follows him, he'll see what it looks like when heaven and earth are open to each other. He wasn't promising that he would see angels, but he would see things happen which show that they're there. Promise is clear. When you're with Jesus, it's as though you're in the house of God, the temple itself, with God's angels coming and going, and God's very own presence right there beside you. For each one of us, we can be like Nathanael, under the fig tree, with all your faults, with all your sin, with all your doubts and questions. Even with all of that, you can still be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, because something great did come out of Nazareth. Jesus, the Son of God, the way, the truth, and the life. And he is God with us. He is Emmanuel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.